formed, and the Lord God made all kinds of trees to grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. There are some special things in the garden that we're going to pay attention to today, some special things that mark the beginning and that might be back at the end to help us to understand the puzzling middle. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. These two special trees placed in the middle of the garden. And then finally, verse 10, a river watering the garden flowed from Eden. From there it was separated into four headwaters, and it goes on to name those four rivers that flowed forth. But here we are in the garden, and we have these special trees, the tree of life, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, and we have this life-giving river. It is a place of life. It is a place of plenty. It is a blessed place in which Adam and Eve are placed to live. Does it look like Eden at your house this week? Does everything look good? Every day this week, at the end of the day as you went to bed, were you able to say, it is very good? Maybe some days, maybe most of this week, but I'll bet some of you in here this week, and I bet all of you at some point or time have wondered why things aren't so good, why it isn't like this garden. We read this Garden of Eden and we think, man, God, why start off talking about all of that? I mean, it's like rubbing it in my face that we're not there anymore. But God intended a good creation. God created a good creation. And we want to go on today and understand what happened. In the garden, God gave some instructions to man in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15. The Lord God took the man, put him in the garden to work it and take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, you are to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat it, you will surely die. This tree right here, God says, no, oh, messing it up. That tree right there, God says, leave that one alone. When you eat of that tree, you will surely die. I think something was mentioned at the communion table about that. Someone have to fill me in on it. Bryson was at his best at that moment. God said, you will surely die if you eat of that tree. As you go on through the text, this is said directly to Adam. According to Genesis chapter 2, God put Adam into a sleep, pulled out a rib, and he made woman. Adam and Eve are there in the garden. Some time passes. We turn the page, and it's chapter 3 of Genesis. And a new character comes onto the scene, a serpent. Now the serpent, chapter 3, verse 1, was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? No, that's not what he said. But remember, this guy's crafty. The serpent, Satan, is crafty. So he gets this dialogue going. He gets this conversation rolling with a lie. The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. Adam had really emphasized this when he told it to Eve, because Eve goes on to say, and you must not touch it or you will die. So Eve has this healthy fear. Just stay away from that tree. This is God's one command. This is his one instruction for the garden. Eat of all these other trees. Eat all this other fruit. But this one tree, leave it alone. Leave it alone. Satan said, oh, you will not surely die. The serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Doesn't that sound pretty good? You will be like God. You can, you know, God's just trying to keep some stuff from you. He's trying to kind of have some control, keep an upper hand on you, Eve. If you will just reach out and grab it, you will be like God. You will know good and evil. I think it's important as we think about knowing good and evil, to think about knowing in the Bible. Those of you who are old enough to have grown up on the King James know that knowing in the Bible produced children. Knowing was not just book knowledge, was it? Knowing was an intimate experiencing of something. Wasn't reading about it, wasn't taking a class on it. Knowledge came from experience. You can be like God. If you eat of that fruit, you can experience good and evil. With that in mind, I'm thinking, Eve, please stop. Eve, it might sound good, but that experience is not one that you want to have. Eve eats of the tree. Adam, who is apparently right there all along, takes the fruit as well. Eve gives it to him. He eats of the tree. The serpent disappears. God comes into the garden later. You know the story. Okay, this is a weird thing. You know, there are things that happen in your growing up years that these images you cannot get out of your head. All right, this is why I'm going to explain why I think this way. When I was a kid, our church was heated with gas. Had one of those big gas tanks in the back. Some of you have those gas tanks in your backyard. And it was the best place to hide when you played hide and seek after church and then you slid in the grass and got grass stains on the church clothes and got in trouble with mama. That was the place. You hid behind that gas tank. So when I was at church and someone told me that Adam and Eve hid, I don't know, I think in my head in the Garden of Eden, there is this big propane gas tank that Adam and Eve went and hid behind that. And God said, "Where are you? What's wrong?" And said, we're over here, but we were naked. We were ashamed, so we hid behind the gas tank. We'd already stained our pants, and we knew we'd be in trouble with mama. And God calls them out. And there's a little dilemma. Now, what did God say would happen if they ate of the tree? They would. What did Satan say? You won't die. What happened? Did she die? Did he die? I don't know. Have there been times in your life when you were supposed to be living and you wondered if you had died? Have you experienced good and evil to the extent that there were days that you experienced that evil and you thought, this is death? This can't be the life that God intended. Did Adam and Eve physically drop dead, have a funeral, bake a casserole, die? No. But they entered into a way of life that I would call death. And I suspect on days when Bryson is messing up your puzzle, you might feel like death to you too. Something happened when they ate of that. God, there were consequences, as we mentioned earlier, and there was a curse. The serpent was cursed. You'll bruise his heel, but he will crush your head. One of the first prophecies of that seed of Adam and Eve, that prophecy of Jesus on the cross, crushing evil once and for all. The man is to work, and it'll take great effort and great sweat as he works the ground. More pain and childbearing, all these things that come with the curse. But most of all on this curse, I want to take note of something towards the end of chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3, starting in verse 22. Verse 21. Was God upset with them or what they have done? Sure. Was he disappointed? Yes. But did God still love them? Verse 21 says, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. A gentle response. Even a bit of mercy. I think there may be even more mercy in what lies ahead. And the Lord God said, The man has now become like one of us. Serpent didn't lie, did he? Became like one of us, says God amongst himself. The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat it and live forever. So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. After he drove the man out, he placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life. God was concerned about humanity eating from the tree of life. Did God not want us to live forever? Isn't that what he created us for? Didn't he create us to live forever? Why the concern? Get out of the garden. A flaming cherubim. I mean, this, to guard the way to the tree of life. God did not want Adam and Eve to eat of this tree of life now. Why? He removes them from the garden. The curse takes away the tree of life. There is no access to the tree of life. The life-giving river is no longer accessible. They're separated from it. All that is left is this tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam and Eve, you and I are left to the experiences of the day of good and of evil. Does God not want us to eat of the tree of life? Let me tell you what I hear when I hear God say, we must not let them reach out and eat from the tree of life and live forever. I hear God saying something about the curse that is really a blessing. I can't let them live like this forever. I believe that's what God had in mind. I believe God said, if you've reached out, you've done it your own way, you're seeking to be your own God, you're seeking to take it into your own hands and to not trust me to give you life. And so for your own protection, for your own good, I will not let you live in this way forever. What God made was good. It was very good. But he gave freedom to us. He gave humanity freedom. And that freedom has been abused. It was abused in the garden. It was abused at work this week. It was abused at home this week. It may have been abused somewhere between the car and here. I hope I didn't abuse it too much back there in the pew. But that choice has been abused. And it has taken us into this experience of good and evil. But God doesn't want us to live like this forever. That's just the beginning of the story. We've only done half of the frame. Now we must turn to the end. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. Revelation chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. The end, the final frame, the destination, the direction in which God is trying to take us. Then the angel showed me the river of life, heard of that before, as clear as crystal. That means it was calm, it was peaceful, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. Down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river stood the tree of life. Have you ever seen a tree that stood on two sides of a river? That's quite a tree. But more than that, it bore 12 crops of fruit year-round, month after month. The tree was bearing fruit, the tree of life, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. As we look at this new picture, As we look at this final frame, this closing thought, this return to Eden, we see some of the same things we saw in the beginning, don't we? We see the tree of life growing on both sides of the river of life, that life-giving river flowing from the throne of God. Take a look. Is something missing? Was anything missing from this picture in Revelation 22 that we had in Genesis chapter 2 and 3? Something was missing. Something is going to disappear. Something is going to go away. There is going to be a tree of life. There is going to be a life-giving river, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Our experiences of good and our experience, especially our experiences of evil, will one day no longer be a part of the life that we will live. There will come a day when there will be no more sadness. There will come a day when there will be no more pain. There will come a day when the way we live will no longer be the way of death, but the way of life. That way was brought, of course we know, by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The promise through Christ is that God has another way for us to live. As we look at His life, we see this other way. We see enacted in our times, in our day, another way of being human, another way of treating each other, another way of living in this creation, because God made this world and it was good. It was very good. And He intends for it to remain good, or actually to become good, even better again than it was in the beginning. And that's the frame of our life. We have this promise through Christ, and we have this path through Christ. We must die to this way. We must die to this way to live in His way. We live in this world in this way of death. We live in this way of ceasing power, of grabbing the fruit. We live in a world that says, grab it, take it, get what's yours, get all that you can get. But Jesus came in another way. He came and lived in a humble way. He came and lived in a way that was concerned for others. And most of all, He lived in a way that He submitted His will. He submitted His desire to God's. And when He was in a garden one night, He said, not my will, but thy will be done. When He went to the garden, He didn't grab the fruit of His own choosing, but He accepted the cup of His Father's will. That is our call this morning. A call to a better way of life. A call out of this mess, this jumbled up puzzle, realizing the frame that God has given us and trying to put the puzzles, the pieces together in the way that now fit with this new knowledge of the goodness that God created, of the goodness that God is recreating. And in the midst of that, showing us His love by sending His Son to die on the cross. I think of that tree on which He died. I think of that ultimate experience of evil, of that Roman cross that our Lord and Savior was tied to, was nailed to, excuse me. I think of the blood that flowed down. And in my mind of metaphors, I think of that blood seeping down into the ground at the foot of that tree. And I know that somehow through that blood, that for us is life, for that tree was death. Somehow the blood that flowed on that cross was poison to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. We praise God for that. We praise God from whom all blessings flow, from that river that flows from His throne into our lives. You are invited this morning to come and drink from that water to submit yourself to His will, to claim Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and to claim and to accept His way, which is truth and life. If you have a need this morning, this body is here for you. We invite you to come now as we stand and sing.
Praise God.